And here we are on this Tuesday morning edition of My Car Guru, live and in charge, and Lenny Lawson is here in studio. Good morning, sir.
Yes, the auto industry is roaring back, according to the news.
Roaring back?
Roaring back. But we're running into a brick wall.
I was going to say, they got that chip shortage
figured out? Yeah, the auto industry has roared back from the pandemic. It was the strongest March sales. Okay, get this. Now, hold on. For 20 years, it's the biggest month. Biggest March in 20 years. And March is typically a really, really good month. It's coming out of winter.
And
you know, and it's of course, weather dependent, but it's been, we had a lot of rain, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But business was booming. I mean, our sales were up almost 250%.
Normally, I know people are spending some income tax money, maybe, refund money. Now that stimulus
money. Well, we had stimulus money, probably some tax refunds. There's a lot of pent-up demand out there, my friend.
Pent-up demand. People want to get out and get on the road.
And there's some new product. But it's the pickings are slim, and the prices are, if you go across the spectrum, you're seeing a major reduction with most manufacturers in the amount of rebates that are out there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We noticed that they cut the rebates on just about everything. Now, these rebates would apply to any Ford dealer just like me. Okay. So these are factory incentives.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the only real rebates that exist. You know, this stuff where the dealers advertise and mm-hmm. they say, we'll match your down payment or we'll match your stimulus check. That money, Timmy, does not just materialize out of thin air.
Right.
It's they don't find it in a big barrel back there in the shop. It's not hidden in some desk drawer mm-hmm. of some sales manager. It's actually, all it is a discount, and they're calling it cash, you know, and that's, mm-hmm. that's somewhat to say. Just tell me how much you're going to give me off the car,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
But right now, getting something off the car is a little bit more challenging. We were trying to buy some F-150s at the end of last week. There's a couple dealers in Midwest that were unloading some inventory. If you would take some of their stuff that's really old, like Fusions, for example, Ford Fusions are being discontinued. 2020 was the last year. But there's an abundance of hybrid Fusions out there. So if somebody wants a real deal, a hybrid Fusion may be a good one. You get the tax credit plus a $6,000 rebate. But this guy wanted us to take, in order to get four F-150s, he wanted us to take 10 hybrids. And the F-150s, you know what he wanted to charge us for the F-150s? In addition to taking the 10 hybrids, window sticker.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So where do you go from there? I mean, you're stuck with all these hybrids, mm-hmm. and then you've got four F-150s, thank goodness, but you've got to sell them to a customer for more than MSRP. I just didn't see that was going to work, so we passed on that deal.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of going to the auction this morning, I would be standing on the lot in Statesville, North Carolina right now had I not chosen to come and
you just wanted to see me again.
Right.
Yeah.
So I would be trying to buy cars, and if I get off of this radio show quick enough, then I'll be able to jump online and try to buy cars, which is not my favorite thing to do. I'd rather be standing beside it, mm-hmm. looking in it, giving it the sniff test and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We buy insurance, Timmy. Wouldn't it be great if consumers could do this? We buy insurance. It costs us about $180 a car when we buy cars at the auction.
Mm-hmm.
And we can return those cars within 30 days for any reason.
Mm-hmm. Any reason.
Any reason. If I just don't like the pinstripe on it, or if I feel like I made a buying goof, then I can just... Now, I have to deliver it back to the auction.
Yeah.
That's the only cost to me other than the $180 worth of insurance.
Yeah.
But what a great thing. You know, Vroom. I saw I was riding my bicycle with my wife. We went on our first 20-mile ride the other day.
Really?
Yeah, of the new year.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I was driving past this house riding past this house, and I saw a new used car sitting in somebody's driveway that said Vroom on it. And on the rear license mm-hmm. plate, Vroom. Mm-hmm. You know what that is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of those buy your car online and get it delivered type of deals.
Yes. Yeah, just like Carvana.
Yeah.
And so...
I don't see how they do it.
Well, they go to the same auction. Well, they don't go. They have somebody else sitting at a computer. At every auction, like today, for example, every Mannheim auction that's going on in the United States right now, there's somebody or multiple people sitting at computers that in the Vroom corporate offices and at Carvana, and they're buying cars.
Mm-hmm.
And in many cases, they're paying way more than what most dealers will pay. And so, you know, you go to the auction, and there's not many people standing in the lane. I remember going, and I mean, it was shoulder to shoulder, 26 different lanes going at the same time, selling 3,000 and 4,000 cars in like 5 hours. Imagine the chaos.
Yeah, you had to be quick to make up your decision.
Yeah.
Make up your mind. Didn't you?
And now it's like they're selling 1,200 cars, and there's like 15 people, and everybody's doing it online. I mean, I was literally standing up in the lane, bidding, buying a car, and the auctioneer was just looking at me, and he's looking at the computer screen because there was nobody else to look at.
Nobody.
It was me versus, like, I can't remember how many. It seemed like there were probably 10 different dealers plus Vroom plus Carvana that were trying to buy this same F-150 that I was.
Mm-hmm.
And it went $4,000 higher than what my limit was. $4,000.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that mean to you, the consumer, that's going out to buy a used car? Well, I've said this for the last couple of weeks. Your vehicle that you own right now is worth a lot more now than it was a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not a lot more a year ago, probably a lot more than 6 months ago. Okay, and if it's an F-150, Silverado, Ram, if it's a popular SUV, it's worth considerably more than it was.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're thinking about going out and trading, or you know somebody who is, maybe your neighbor has mentioned to you across the fence, say, you know, I'm thinking about buying a new truck, and they've got a truck sitting in their driveway.
Mm-hmm.
You might go over there and be a real hero to them and say, tell you what, call Lanny Lawson at 552-2020, and he'll put you straight, and he won't try to sell you anything.
Mm-hmm.
I had a customer call me the other day and said, you know, I really appreciate the fact that you're not trying to steer me to your product because I don't like your product. And I said, well, that hurts.
That was hurtful.
What do you not like about a Nissan and Ford? I said, I'm just a Honda guy, man.
Yeah, so
I just got to have a Pilot. I said, well, okay, what are you driving now? He said, Pilot. I said, well, what year is it? And he told me. I said, boy, I'd love to buy that thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I made him an offer, and he said, well, I'll consider that. I'll try to trade it, but I won't take less than that. And I said, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
I said, just remember, I'm the guy who told you what it was worth and saved you all that money.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is. I mean, it's like low-hanging fruit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to go out and try to buy a car today, and not be prepared, and not have all your bullets that you need. You know, sorry if I offend any gun rights people, or anti-gun people. But you know, I kind of look at. I used when I was growing up, I used to really love to play cowboys and stuff, and I had this the nicest holster. My dad got it for me. You know, twin guns, pearl handled guns, and I had all these fake bullets in them, and I loved having those bullets all the way around there. You know, in the little slips that they go into.
You were not like Barney Fife. He only had one bullet. So
right. No, not like Barney.
Yeah.
But you got to have all your bullets.
Ammunition, yeah. You're saying.
Yeah, ammunition.
Ammunitized.
Yeah. You got to be prepared.
Is that a word?
Yeah, and you know, the other thing that it is, if you start feeling like you're losing control of the transaction and it's not going your way, just stop right there. You don't have to move forward. Mm-hmm. I know that salesperson really wants you to. He's really nice.
Mm-hmm.
He's smiling, and he offered to get you a drink, and you know, and the building looks nice and everything, and balloons are everywhere, and you know, they just keep, there's this like this big wave, like the waves at the beach, and they're just taking you in, taking you into shore, right? But you don't have to go to shore.
Watch out for the riptide taking you out.
Yeah, yeah. You can just say, wait a minute now, I'm not feeling comfortable. I just really don't want to move forward until I think about it. I don't want to think about it. Well, if the salesperson said, what do you want to think about? You know, then you might, you know, resist the pressure.
Well, just what do you have to think about?
Yeah, some dealerships, you'll have a triple TO. You know what that is?
Triple TO.
Yeah. That's a TO is a turnover. That's where you get turned over to a guy who's a better closer than you are.
Okay.
Okay, so or than the other guy is. So a triple TO is when that happens three times.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you get to talk to one manager, get to talk to his boss, and then you get to talk to his boss.
Mm-hmm.
And if his boss can't close you, then you know they'll let you go. But otherwise, your keys, they threw your keys on top of the building so you couldn't have them. It's a scary place. But anyway, the industry is booming right now, and availability is very weak. And you maybe say, well, I'll just order one. Good luck with that. You know, I had a guy said yesterday, they're paving my lot. They're doing the finishing touches on my lot right now, as I speak.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, you really don't have what I want in stock. I'm really wanting an XLT 302A package with sunroof and these particular wheels. And he says, and in this color. And I guess I'll just order it. And I said, well, okay, but I can't really guarantee you when it will come in. It may be November.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, it may be that long. Because we don't know. Now, I've got the regional manager for Ford Motor Company is a friend of mine, and he's going to call me today, and he's going to let me know what the dealio is. Because he knows. He's up high enough. His boss works in Dearborn, Michigan, so you know, he's pretty far up there.
Pretty good.
Yeah, and so he's gonna tell me what's gonna be Ford status, because I need to know. I mean, I'm trying to run this business with you know, a third of the inventory that I would normally have.
Yeah,
I need some help.
Gotta have product.
Yes, sir.
Well, you said the other day when you were talking on the show that depending on what you order, it could be even next year before.
Yeah, I just don't understand. I'm seriously worried about the Bronco, and I bet they have been probably stored up chips, computer chips for it for some time. So, because they had it launched, you can't launch a vehicle twice, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
You only have one time to have a grand opening. Like if I decided next year, you know, I think I'm gonna have another Nissan grand opening.
Mm-hmm.
People say, I thought you did that last
year.
Yeah,
what happened to what before?
Yeah, and this one may not go as good. So the Bronco was launched, and it's out there in the media, and everybody that was in the first wave got their Broncos ordered. Are they coming, or are they not?
Mm-hmm.
That is the question.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we could take a break, and you want to?
I suppose we'll do that.
Okay.
Since we do need to do that, and we'll come back with more on My Car Guru. All right, back here on My Car Guru for a Tuesday morning as Lenny Lawson. We're just talking about all kinds of stuff here.
Just a chit-chatting and going on.
Mm-hmm.
We, in the auto industry, have to, just like any business, have to deal with regulations, Tim. There are laws.
Yeah, yeah.
There are rules that, you know, for the most part,
guidelines.
For the most part, most of the guidelines that are out there from the different agencies and laws and stuff are good.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that they're good is because they were refined through a process of cooperation, reconciliation. Reconciliation is kind of a bad word right now. But it was Democrats working together with Republicans, working together with regulators, working together with the very, very powerful NADA lobby and state lobbyists. To make sure that the regulations made sense. And, you know, I really commend the state of Tennessee in the way that they deal with dealers. You know, the way they work with through regulation and help level the playing field is what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
Advertising laws is one of those things. And as I mentioned the other day, we got a newsletter. We got a letter. A newsletter first that told us this letter was coming.
Mm-hmm.
The newsletter was from the Tennessee Automobile Dealers Association. The letter was from the Motor Vehicle Commission, which regulates dealer advertising.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So I finally got the letter yesterday.
Oh, did you?
Opened up my mail.
Yeah.
I was a week late opening up, and there it was, saying, on April 15th, April the 6th?
Yeah.
On April 15th, we're going to start enforcing the law. We're going to monitor dealer websites. We're going to monitor print ads, broadcast ads.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be listening, watching for advertising violations.
Why didn't they start before that?
Well, you can blame a lot of things, but it pretty much all enforcement stopped at the last recession. You know, when the economy, when the industry, you know, General Motors was going bankrupt, or did go bankrupt.
2008 or something.
Yeah. General Motors went bankrupt. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were canceling dealerships. It was just mayhem. And, of course, I guess they just made this decision, says, okay, we're going to back off the industry because the industry is down, 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 and we've got to do something to let them revive themselves. Well, that's been going on. And really a lot of the serious abuse has been going on more or less in the last 5 years, where you have crazy claims being made. The Internet is just people say, well, I'll just buy it on the Internet. Well, you know, good luck with that because, you know, trying to decipher new car pricing, you know, now, I would say 80% of it is okay. It's the 20% that you have to worry about, but the average consumer doesn't know how to recognize it.
Mm-hmm.
So they go in there and say, well, honey, that looks like a great deal. Let's go in. Look how much cheaper that is than that dealer. Let's go in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go in there and the reality hits.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get the triple TO, you know, and so you get the high pressure. But anyway, all this supposedly stops on the 15th.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah. So we'll see. But there are other rules that are out there for consumers to protect them. One has to do with privacy, the Graham-Leach-Bliley Act. It was a privacy rule, and there was another part of it was a safeguards rule. But this required that auto dealers protect the privacy of the customers and protect the security and confidentiality of their personal data. I was walking past the sales tower the other day where my sales manager sits, and lying beside him was a photograph of a person's driver's license. Now, you know, he was sitting right here, and he could reach out with his right hand and stretch his arm out and grab that piece of paper.
Mm-hmm.
And no customer is going to be up there. But if that was my picture and my driver's license, I would want it in a file. And so I handed it to him. I said, what's this doing now? And he said, oh, and he grabbed it and stuck it in the file.
Mm-hmm.
You know, criminals can walk around car dealerships and walk around their showrooms and get Social Security numbers. They can get where their mortgage is. Somebody can walk up, and you wouldn't even know it. Somebody could go in and take with a camera. I hope I'm not giving criminals any ideas, but they could take a camera and just take a picture of somebody's credit app.
Yeah.
And you've got all that personal information. And so dealers have to be diligent to protect that information. Now, we control that data as much as possible. We lock it down. We get it behind locked doors because we have coded door locks on our finance offices, and you can't get into my office unless you know a code.
Yeah.
So you've got the finance offices that are coded, and then behind that you've got the main office that's coded, and then we store all the customers' information upstairs in the parts department in another locked room.
Mm-hmm.
And there's only three keys to that room, and I have one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's – and then we have to keep this information for 7 years. Okay, so that's the requirement.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can grind it up. We have the guy come and shred all the documents and stuff, the document shredding company. But that's designed to, you know, protect your information, and the Gramm-Leach-Bliley Act puts the burden on the dealership. And the safeguards rules, we have to have a written security plan. All this has to be in writing, this process.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we have to be prepared for an audit. There's something called the used car rule. This mandates that the auto dealers post a buyer's guide before offering a used vehicle for sale. At one time, the penalty for not putting a buyer's guide in a car, just having it in a window, was $10,000 per occurrence. So if you walk, if somebody from the Federal Trade Commission walked around your lot and found five used cars for sale that didn't have this little as-is sticker. Have you seen the as-is or with warranty sticker? If you just traded for it, then technically it's available for sale, right?
Right.
So one of the first things our salespeople do when we trade it, we take it around back, we're putting an FTC label on that window, just in case somebody comes in. Now, that's a little overkill, I think. But I guess the whole effort was to make sure that customers know whether a vehicle is covered by warranty or it's being sold as-is.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to really understand what as-is means. If a dealer does warranty, does repairs for you after selling you the car as is, automatically, bam, it's got a warranty on it. They have put an implied warranty on that vehicle by doing anything for you after the fact. Red flags rule requires that auto dealers have a written identity theft protection plan. We have to report cash payments over $10,000. This is an IRS rule. Regulation Z is known as the Truth in Lending Act. It requires lenders, including auto dealers, to disclose all credit terms in a clear and meaningful way. The problem there is that prior to the sale, they're not being disclosed in a clear and meaningful way. In the advertising, they're not being disclosed. Only when somebody's signing a contract. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they have what they call the five-finger disclosure. It's kind of a joke in the car business that they put their hand over top of the stuff they don't want you to see and say, sign here. Okay. It's called a five-finger because I've got my five fingers laying on top of the important numbers.
Yeah, yeah.
The five-finger disclosure.
There you go.
I've never done it, but I've heard about it.
Yeah. You don't have to sign about what you don't see. Right?
No, but don't ever sign a contract. Don't ever sign an agreement. At least you've read the highlights of it. I mean, know what you're buying before you sign on the dotted line. There's a lot of excitement and enthusiasm in buying a new car, but, man, you can really spend more money than you need to. You can just ruin Christmas if you're not careful.
There you go. Be careful. We'll take our last break. We'll come back and wrap things up. Back to bring you the final moments of My Car Guru this Tuesday morning.
I drove the Mach-E electric Mustang up here this morning.
I noticed that.
I just love that car.
Yeah.
I have been I'm a total paradigm shift on that car because I wasn't excited about it at all or about electric cars in general.
Yeah.
But I am excited about this. But I'm really also excited. See, we have a regular Mustang that comes in a four-cylinder. We have a GT Mustang that comes in a V8. Then we had the Shelby GT350 that had this crazy engine in it with flat plane crank and, you know, pretty much a street-legal race car. And now they came out with the GT500 and the GT350 went away. But we need something to fill that void. Well, Ford is bringing back the Mach 1 Mustang.
Oh, really?
Remember the Mach 1?
I do, yeah.
And so the Mach 1 is going to have a lot of the features that the GT350 had without the temperamental engine. So it's going to have a lot of the same handling characteristics. It's going to be a car that if you wanted to rent some track time and go to Barber Motorsports Park down in Alabama or go to Road Atlanta or someplace that can tear up the track, you could.
Mm-hmm.
But also it's a daily driver. So Mustang is still the king. I used to be a Chevy dealer. I used to think the Camaro was king.
Yeah.
I don't anymore because I know better now.
Mustang's the key of speed cars.
Yeah, so it's a great vehicle. But the Mach 1 is coming back, and we'll have one in probably next week. We've got one on a truck. It has been built and has all of its chips.
Thank goodness.
Hopefully.
I'm glad the chips are
falling.
Can't
say that for me.
Yeah.
Though.
I understand.
I've got a few chips missing.
I understand. I'm right there with you. Well, the chips have fallen for this edition of My Car Guru. That'll do it for us. We got to get out of here and make room for other things, and then we'll be back in about 23 and a half hours with My Car Guru.